Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 24th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
China Evergrande leaves investors holding their breath heading into the weekend.
The CDC clears millions of Americans to receive Pfizer's COVID booster shot.
A committee investigating the January 6th insurrection subpoenas associates of former President Trump.
New York hospitals fear a statewide vaccine mandate could lead to staff shortages next week. Plus, flight attendants say air rage is getting out of control. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees begin a big series tonight in Boston. Carolina beat Houston in the NFL, and the Ryder Cup begins this morning.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto.
And U.S. futures are lower heading into the final trading day of the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 20 points, Dow futures down 117, NASDAQ futures down 86, and the 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield 1.40%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $73.33 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin in Asia. Lots happening overseas this morning. All eyes on China. Evergrande stocks in the region moved higher overnight, but investors in the troubled real estate firm have been left on edge heading into the weekend. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index rose for a second day led by Japan. Shares were muted in Hong Kong and China, where Evergrande has yet to make a statement on a dollar bond interest payment that was due Thursday. Evergrande's stock and bonds traded lower following a 17% rally Thursday. China Evergrande New Energy Vehicle Group plunged as much as 23%. Another injection of liquidity from the PBOC saw China's overnight repo rate fall to a two-month low. In Singapore, poor Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. We also have big news out of China this hour on Bitcoin. The digital currency is falling right now as China advances its crackdown on cryptocurrencies. The PBOC is saying all crypto-related transactions are illegal. The central bank is promising more curbs on crypto trading and mining and checking Bitcoin now. It is down about 5% at $42,510.
All right, Karen, let's turn to the pandemic now. CDC advisors have recommended Pfizer's booster shot for people 65 years and older. They stopped short of advising boosters for those at high risk of being exposed to COVID, but then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky overruled that recommendation, clearing shots for millions who encounter the virus in the workplace. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Now, Dr. Anthony Fauci is confident this is a major step.
We're going to look back at this and say that this third shot would very much be part of the regimen that's the proper regimen for excellent degree of effectiveness together with durability.
Fauci says a major job now is to get vax hesitants shots. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. On Capitol Hill, Democratic infighting over President Biden's economic agenda could come to a head as soon as next week. The House is set to vote Monday on the $550 billion infrastructure bill. But progressives like Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts say they want an ironclad guarantee that they'll also get $3.5 trillion in human infrastructure.
I think if we can get that, then maybe some of the hesitancy in voting for the traditional infrastructure bill will reside.
Moderate Democrats, meantime, are concerned about the size of the larger package. But former Trump White House budget chief Mick Mulvaney says at the end of the day, Democrats will come together.
I know these folks enough to know they're not going to walk away from the opportunity to pass something on their own. They are very concerned about losing the House in 2022, the Senate less so, but as soon as they lose one of these bodies, they don't have the ability to do this. So I think sooner or later, Nancy will have her way. Something will pass on both infrastructure and the social spending bill.
Mick Mulvaney and Congressman Jim McGovern spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
In the meantime, Karen, the Biden administration is making fresh moves to stem the chip shortage. It's looking to force companies in the semiconductor supply chain to provide information on inventory and sales of chips. The administration could do this by invoking a Cold War-era national security law. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo says the goal is to alleviate bottlenecks and to identify possible hoarding.
Well, back on Capitol Hill, Nathan, a House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection has subpoenaed four advisors and associates to former President Donald Trump. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, former Communications Deputy Dan Scavino, former Defense Department official Kash Patel, and former Trump advisor Stephen Bannon are being called to depositions on October 14th and 15th. Meadows is being called as a witness to events because of his communications with the president during the riot. Bannon is expected to be questioned about events leading up to the insurrection, including efforts to block certification of the election. Committee member Adam Schiff says the panel could recommend criminal prosecution if the men don't cooperate. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Turning to Wall Street now, some corporate earnings to tell you about. Shares of Nike are down about 4.5% in early trading after first quarter sales missed estimates. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Production and shipping delays hobbled the company's efforts to meet strong demand for shoes and athletic wear. Global sales for the quarter rose 12% to $12.2 billion after adjusting for currencies, missing analyst expectations of $12.5 billion. This suggests that the world's largest athletic wear company is having trouble keeping up with consumers. Nike is suffering from the same supply chain issues in Asia that are hindering trade around the world, from high container costs to lengthy transit times. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And we also have earnings from Costco. Shares up 0.5% in early trading after profit and sales topped estimates. Costco did warn of higher inflation, saying the company's expenses increased for everything from freight and labor to food. And futures again moving lower this morning with S&P futures down 19 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
607 on Wall Street, rain and 57 degrees in Central Park. Got a few crashes on the major roads with all these wet roads in our way. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hospitals and nursing homes in New York are bracing for the possibility that a statewide COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers could lead to staff shortages when it takes effect Monday. Doctors and nurses and also support staff like food service workers and cleaners have been given until Monday to get at least their first vaccine shot. With just days left to go before the deadline, many still hadn't. That left the prospect of potentially thousands of healthcare workers being forced off the job next week. A camp where almost 15,000 migrants had waited along the Texas border just days ago is now dramatically smaller, down to around 4,000. Meanwhile, the Biden administration's special envoy to Haiti, Daniel Foote, submitted a letter of resignation protesting the inhumane large-scale expulsions of Haitian migrants. Democratic Representative Frederica Wilson, who represents the Haitian-American community in South Florida, called for an immediate end to deportation flights.
I'm hoping by the end of this week, we will see some movement because the optics for this White House is not great in this nation.
Representative Wilson says black migrants are treated differently than non-black migrants. A prosecutor in closing arguments at the sex trafficking trial of R. Kelly has asked jurors to make the R&B superstar pay for his alleged sex crimes. A lawyer for Kelly countered by asking them not to fall for the lies of his accusers. The 54-year-old singer has pleaded not guilty to racketeering charges, accusing him of abusing women, girls, and boys for more than two decades. The jury could begin deliberating as soon as this afternoon. Limiting the sale of to-go alcohol at airports and creation of an industry-wide no-fly list are among the steps that may be needed to help stem the epidemic of air rage incidents on airline flights. International President of the Association of Flight Attendants, Sarah Nelson, says much of the out-of-control behavior comes from intoxicated passengers.
Stopping to-go alcohol should be low-hanging fruit here.
Flight Attendants President Sarah Nelson spoke before the House Transportation Committee. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Well, 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, here we go. Last nine games of the season, not an easy closing schedule for the Yankees. Three in Boston, the Red Sox have won seven in a row. Three in Toronto, then home for first place Tampa Bay. The Yanks did get some help last night when Nick Gordon hit a three-run homer. Minnesota beat Toronto 7-2, so the Yanks now full game ahead of the Blue Jays, two behind Boston. The pitching matchup at Fenway tonight is a good one. Gerrit Cole versus one-time Yankee Nathan Eovaldi. Cole did get roughed up his last time out. The White Sox, whose record is virtually the same as the Yankees, clinched the AL Central, first time since 2008. The Cardinals were a 500 team until this 12-game winning streak, their longest since 1982. They trailed in Milwaukee 5-0. Came back to win 8-5. The Phillies trailed Pittsburgh 6-0. Rallied to win 12-6. The Phillies, fourth time this year, third time this month, they've rallied from 6-1 down. They're only two games behind Atlanta in the NL East. NFL in Houston, Carolina won 24-9, led by the ex-Jet QB Sam Darnold. He's got the Panthers 3-0. The win was costly, though. Star back Christian McCaffrey suffered a hamstring injury. The Ryder Cup begins in 2 hours. Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Rory McIlroy will play for Team Europe.
You play for the guys that are beside you. You play for everyone that's helping our team try to win this week. You're obviously playing for your country and your continent and, I guess, your tour in some way as well. But most of all, we play for each other.
First match, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth against the Spaniards. Sergio Garcia and Jon Rahm, who's number one in the world. Europe's won four of the last five Ryder Cups, five of the last seven. Live coverage later today. Bloomberg Radio starting at 4:15. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures down 16 points. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures down 75. Bitcoin down nearly 5%, $42,500. This is Bloomberg. Almost 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures lower this morning, down 15 points. Dow futures down 89. NASDAQ futures down 74. And the 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.40%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.25%. We're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. Time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin is falling this morning after word China is advancing its crackdown on cryptocurrencies. The PBOC is saying all crypto-related transactions are illegal. The central bank is promising to curb crypto trading and crack down on mining. Meantime, Bitcoin mining in Kazakhstan is facing a shutdown due to power shortages. Crypto News Flash reports miners in the country are saying their operations could be closed down this winter when Kazakhstan lowers power production. Bitcoin miners moved to the country after China started its crackdown on crypto mining plants. Kazakhstan's electricity rates are among the world's cheapest. We're seeing social media start buying into the crypto space. Twitter says it will start letting users send and receive tips using Bitcoin. That's part of a broader push to help Twitter users make money from the service. The company's offered limited tipping for months, but says now it's rolling out the feature globally. That's your Bloomberg Crypto Update. I'm Joan Doniger. Karen?
All right, Joan, thank you. And let's check Bitcoin now. It's down almost 5% at $42,533. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The CDC has endorsed COVID-19 booster shots for people 65 and older. The advisors also said boosters should be offered to nursing home residents and those 50 and up who have risky underlying health problems. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and three others of former President Donald Trump's advisors were subpoenaed by the Select House Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Along with Meadows, subpoenas were sent to former Trump political advisor Steve Bannon, former Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Scavino, and former Defense Department official Cash Patel. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Red Sox begin a three-game series at Fenway tonight. The Nationals and Orioles won, the A's and Giants lost. In Thursday night NFL action, the Panthers beat the Texans 24-9, but Carolina lost running back Christian McCaffrey. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we head into an extended crypto update for you this morning following this announcement from China's central bank that all cryptocurrency-related transactions are illegal and must be banned. Joining us now, Bloomberg Markets editor Lynn Thomason. Lynn, good morning. Very interesting announcement, obviously, from the PBOC, but coming in the context of the broader crackdown on the tech sector that China has been engaged in for months now, seems to be putting quite a shudder through the crypto market this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, this is probably easily the strongest, blow to crypto that we've seen from China. And I think it just, reinforces this narrative that China's really, taking some tough actions on a lot of industries right now.
But this in the context of past statements that China has made about crypto-related currencies. I mean, it's not as though China hasn't taken a hard line on this sector before, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's probably why you're seeing a fairly limited move in the Bitcoin price this morning. I mean, prices are only down 5%. And, for an asset as volatile as Bitcoin, it's clearly not a shock and awe scenario. I don't think the market is, particularly surprised. It's obviously hurt by it. But, I think if it really was, a big move, you would see a much more dramatic change in Bitcoin prices. But clearly, just reinforces that they're not giving up on this.
Yeah, also interesting to see from the announcement this morning that they're putting it in relation to environmental goals in China, rooting out crypto mining to meet their carbon emissions reduction goals. What does that say potentially about how China could go after this sector?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the environmental story is really interesting. You're seeing this come at a time where, China is dealing with some power cuts. And, even in the UK here, we've dealt with power issues. So, I think crypto being such an energy heavy industry and, requiring so much electricity, countries that or sort of more environmentally minded are going to be, really questioning, is this necessary?
And on top of the China Evergrande situation here, what could this mean for investors in China and more broadly when we're thinking about the possibility of a default from one of the biggest developers in the world and now a possible crackdown, an even further crackdown on cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I think I would say, it seems like the story here is just how bold China has been in tackling everything from, its internet companies, its technology, its developers, its crypto, you name it. I think you're really seeing a social, in corporate reckoning in China and, really some dramatic moves by the government.
So are we really looking into the possibility of even more volatility as we head into the new week? We've got about 30 seconds left here, Lynn.
Sure. Crypto and volatility go hand in hand. I think absolutely it's been quite a turbulent week. I have no doubt that, crypto is always a volatile one. So I'm sure there's going to be more to come.
Yeah, we'll be watching as the selling continues, at least this morning. Bloomberg Markets editor Lynn Thomason, again, thanks for being with us this morning on the breaking news out of the People's Bank of China, coming out with a statement this morning saying that all crypto-related transactions are illegal and must be banned. And just taking a look at Bitcoin trading right now, it is down about 4.75%. It's been aiming toward the 42,000 level now. Right now, it's at $42,620. S&P futures are down almost 14 points. Dow futures down 74, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 68 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. We remain under a flash flood watch for another hour and a half or so. Showers will end. We'll clear out this afternoon, low 70s, and sunshine, low 70s for the weekend. Rain in 57 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower following the S&P 500's biggest two-day rally since July. In Asia, there's still uncertainty about the debt crisis at China Evergrande. The distressed developer has given no signs of meeting yesterday's deadline for a coupon payment. We get more from Bloomberg's James Mager in Beijing.
If the company could have paid the money already, they probably would have. So the fact that they haven't so far indicates that they don't have that money in hand. So, you know, the government obviously would like them to not default, or is saying they don't want to default on their overseas borrowing. And I guess the next question is, how does the government, how does the authority, how does the PBOC then step in to assist them to make sure that they don't actually default?
Bloomberg's James Mager says Evergrande investors could be left on edge heading into the weekend. Shares dropped almost 12% overnight.
Well, Karen, we also have big news out of China this morning on Bitcoin. The digital currency is falling as China advances its crackdown on cryptocurrencies. The PBOC says all crypto-related transactions are illegal. The central bank is promising more curbs on crypto trading and mining. And checking Bitcoin now, it is down 5% at $42,450.
Well, turning to the pandemic now, Nathan, the CDC has endorsed booster shots for millions of older and vulnerable Americans. They stopped short of advising booster shots for those at high risk of being exposed to COVID, but then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky overruled their recommendation. Dr. Anthony Fauci is applauding the authorization of a third shot.
We're going to look back at this and say that this third shot would very much be part of the regimen that's the proper regimen for excellent degree of effectiveness together with durability.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says the extra dose will be given once to people at least 6 months after their last Pfizer shot.
And in Washington, a House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol has subpoenaed four associates of former President Donald Trump. The subpoenas are for former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Dan Scavino, Kashyap Patel, and former Trump advisor Steve Bannon.
And futures again moving lower, with S&P futures down about 15 points this morning. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures down 71. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 1.40%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $73.31 a barrel. And the euro, 1.1734 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Light rain, 57 degrees in Central Park. We do remain under a flash flood watch for about another hour and a half. Michael Barr is here with words of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hospitals and nursing homes in New York are bracing for the possibility that a statewide COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers could lead to staff shortages when it takes effect Monday. Doctors and nurses and also support staff like food service workers and cleaners have been given until Monday to get at least their first vaccine shot. With just days left to go before the deadline, many still hadn't. That left the prospect of potentially thousands of healthcare workers being forced off the job next week. Police say a shooter attacked a grocery store in an upscale suburb of Memphis, Tennessee, and killed one person. 12 others were wounded before the gunman was found dead. This store worker who escaped talked about her fear.
And I looked up and I see people running. And I thought, something is happening or they wouldn't be running.
Authorities say the shooter died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Air rage. Flight attendants say it's getting out of control, and they voiced their concerns at a hearing on Capitol Hill. Flight attendant Teddy Andrews, who is black, testified about one such encounter with a passenger.
He said, N-word, I don't have to listen to a damn thing you say. This is a free country. I was completely taken aback. I didn't know what to say. But he continued, you heard me, N-word boy.
Flight attendant Teddy Andrews. To stop all the chaos, the Association of Flight Attendants is urging lawmakers to bring more criminal charges against offenders and step up alcohol policy enforcements in airports. A holdover from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration has stepped down. New York Governor Kathy Hochul thanks State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker for his service to the state during the COVID-19 pandemic. Cuomo appointed Zucker in 2015. The House is set to vote on legislation that aims to guarantee every woman's right to an abortion. Democrats are holding the vote today in response to a new Texas law greatly restricting abortion access. However, Republican opposition will likely doom the bill's chances in the Senate. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bird Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stenshaw.
Nathan, nothing like a Yankee-Red Sox pennant race series in September. Starts tonight, Fenway Park. Eric Cole against Nathan Eovaldi. Look for the Red Sox to be wearing not red, but bright yellow. The Sox have won 7 in a row in the last 5, wearing those alternate uniforms. The two teams in a battle with the Blue Jays for the 2 wild card spots. Both teams happy. Minnesota beat Toronto 7-2 as the weekend begins with the Red Sox, 2 games ahead of the Yanks and up 3 on the Blue Jays. The Jets traded Sam Darnold to Carolina. Sure enough, he's been terrific for the Panthers. Ran for 2 touchdowns in a 24-9 win at Houston. Darnold has Carolina 3-0 with their star back, Christian McCaffrey, who was injured most of last season. Last night suffered a hamstring injury. Darnold's Jet replacement, Zach Wilson, comes off 4 interceptions. The 0-2 Jets play Sunday in Denver. The 0-2 Giants host Atlanta on Eli Manning Day.
It is such an honor to have played my 16 years with the New York Giants and to be one of the 12 jerseys retired by this storied franchise is, it probably hasn't kicked in that's a reality quite yet.
And Michael Strahan later this season becomes the 13th to have his number retired. The Giants with an update on offensive lineman Nick Gates, who last week in Washington suffered a serious leg injury that coach Joe Judge admits might be career-ending. Gates only 25, one of the Giants' team captains. He is still in a hospital in Virginia. The Ryder Cup gets going shortly in Wisconsin with 4 alternate shot matches. Europe's won 4 of the last 5 Ryder Cups. And live coverage later today on Bloomberg Radio starting at 4:15. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks now and some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson's with us on this Friday morning, starting off with some names moving on earnings, Dave.
Absolutely, Nathan. Nike is one of them, and it's down 4.5% in early trading. The athletic wear maker posted fiscal first quarter sales that trailed analyst average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. Nike cut its full year sales forecast because of production and shipping delays. Contrast that with Costco wholesale, up 0.75%. The warehouse club chain's earnings and revenue for the fiscal fourth quarter surpassed projections. Now, that said, Costco raised its estimate of merchandise inflation this fiscal year by a percentage point to as much as 4.5%.
Of course, we're watching Bitcoin very closely this morning, Dave. How are crypto-related shares doing?
Well, they're falling. No surprise. After China's central bank said transactions in the digital currencies are illegal, you're seeing the prices of Bitcoin and other tokens fall, and it's carrying over to stocks. You've got the exchange owner Coinbase Global down 3%, the Bitcoin investor MicroStrategy down 5%, and Marathon Digital off 6.5% in early trading. Merck up 1.5%. A prostate cancer drug being developed with the UK's AstraZeneca had favorable results in a final stage study, and Merck settled a patent case brought by Pfizer over a pneumonia vaccine. Terms of that deal will have Merck paying royalties through 2035. Meredith up 19%. Barry Diller's IAC Interactive Corp is in advanced talks to buy the magazine publisher. That's according to Dow Jones, citing unnamed people familiar with the situation. The report said a deal may be valued at more than $2.5 billion. Some analyst calls of note, Roku down 2.5%. The maker of streaming video players was cut to the equivalent of hold from buy at Wells Fargo. And that's according to the fly on the wall. Amedisys down 1%. The provider of home health care received a sell rating and new coverage at UBS. And Intellia Therapeutics up 0.5%. The gene therapy developer received a buy rating and new coverage at Stifel. And Carnival will be a stock to watch today. The largest owner of cruise lines is due to report fiscal third quarter results before the opening bell. Now, Carnival said yesterday that more than half its ship capacity would be back in operation by the end of October. Carnival up 0.25% in early trading.
Obviously, cruising has been an industry to watch as we make our way out of the pandemic. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, as always, thank you for the pre-market update and taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of this Friday morning open. Futures are moving lower. S&P futures down almost 17 points now. Dow futures down 92. NASDAQ futures down 76 points. 10-year Treasury is up 7/32. The yield now 1.40%. Bitcoin down 5.5% at the moment. $42,200. This is Bloomberg. It's almost 6:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Sports, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures moving lower this morning. Bitcoin is as well. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red after 2 days of big gains. Dow futures currently down 78 points. S&P's dropped 14. NASDAQ futures are lower by 69. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.41%. Gold is up 12. And you mentioned Bitcoin. It is plunging as much as 5.5% right now after China said all crypto-related transactions are illegal. Japan rose 2.1% overnight, while European markets are trading in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, new home sales. After the bell last night, Nike cut its sales outlook amid supply chain disruptions and Costco EPS beat estimates, but warned of faster inflation. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Carnival to report in the pre-market. And in deal news, IAC is in talks to buy Meredith. Wrapping things up, Spotify was rated a new sell over at DZ Bank. Cheesecake Factory raised to buy at Jefferies, and Salesforce raised overweight over at Piper. Live from the First Republican News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Great, Bill. Thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you kindly. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has endorsed COVID-19 booster shots for millions of older or otherwise vulnerable Americans. The move opens a major new phase in the U.S. vaccination drive against the coronavirus. A House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol has subpoenaed four advisors and associates to former President Donald Trump who were in contact with him during the riot. The subpoenas issued include for former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and former Trump advisor Stephen Bannon. In Major League Baseball, the Nationals and Orioles won. The A's and Giants lost. Thursday night NFL action. The Panthers beat the Texans 24-9, but Carolina's win came at a big cost. The Panthers lost running back Christian McCaffrey to an injury early in the second quarter. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
What UK and Texas energy crises have in common. I'm Liam Denning, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The UK is gripped by an energy crisis, with spiking prices for gas and power and suppliers going bankrupt. It is all a bit reminiscent of recent emergencies in Texas and California. A root problem in all cases is mispriced energy. Besides electrons or molecules, energy bills must also incorporate the cost of things like spare capacity, weatherized equipment, and other things that keep our grids functioning. Another thing they need to incorporate is climate change. The temptation when energy prices spike is to cap them to protect consumers, but doing so removes an important signal for conservation and could also set back decarbonisation efforts. What's needed is smarter pricing that balances the need to green our energy with keeping it reliable. I'm Liam Denning. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and ranked 103 among all national universities. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Biden administration is considering invoking a Cold War-era national security law to force companies in the semiconductor supply chain to provide information on inventory and sales of chips. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo says the goal is to alleviate bottlenecks that have idled U.S. car production and caused shortages of consumer electronics and to identify possible hoarding. Apple releasing its iPhone 13 lineup today, testing whether new camera technology and aggressive carrier deals will get shoppers to snap up a modest update of last year's model. This year's biggest changes include a narrower notch at the top of the screen, camera features like cinematic mode, and up to a few hours of additional battery life. The product also has a somewhat faster processor. The Nobel Prize ceremonies will be reined in and scaled down for the second year in a row due to the coronavirus pandemic. The laureates will receive their Nobel Prize medals and diplomas in their home countries next month. The presentation of events will be woven together with an awards ceremony in Stockholm on December 10th, which is the anniversary of the death of prize founder Albert Nobel. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden getting some of what he wanted in his COVID booster plan, former Trump aides subpoenaed by the Capitol Hill riot probe panel, and the oldest Republican in the Senate announcing he is running for re-election. Also making news this morning, Congress juggling its agenda to avert a government shutdown and a default. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins me now. Emily, good morning. Once again, we're talking about all the deadlines coming up closer and closer on Capitol Hill.
The need for things to get done is just ratcheting up with every single day. But yesterday, Speaker Pelosi set out to quell fears that we are headed for a government shutdown, saying that there is a way that the House and Senate will both avoid that passing by passing a temporary sort of stopgap funding. The bill that they have got considered right now that the House passed and that the Senate has started the process on and then is planning to vote on Monday would fund the government from now until December 3rd. However, that bill that the House passed, that the Senate's taken up, it's likely not going to pass the Senate because it has a debt ceiling extension attached to it, something Republicans say they will not support. So at this point, the clearest option forward is for the Senate to remove the debt limit portion of that bill and then deal with the debt limit after making sure that the government is not going to shut down on October 1st.
But even before that shutdown deadline, Emily, as you know, the House has said it could vote on that bipartisan infrastructure bill as soon as Monday. Is there any progress there in the infighting between Democrats on how to get the two-track process done?
Not really. There hasn't been a lot of progress that's been made from the start of this week. Yesterday, Speaker Pelosi did announce that she, as well as others in leadership, including Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, did agree to a framework for that budget reconciliation. And the House committee is actually going to be working today and tomorrow on getting that package together and set. And there is some discussion about whether that's going to be able to be voted on next week. However, it doesn't seem at this point like they're going to be able to vote on it on Monday, which was the deadline for that vote on the infrastructure bill. And the big question from Capitol Hill, the one that every reporter I've heard has been putting to every lawmaker in leadership, is, are we going to have that Monday vote? Because at this point, if they do and progressives stick to their word, there aren't going to be enough votes to pass the infrastructure bill, which would be a very embarrassing moment, both for Democrats as well as President Biden.
Yeah, it sounds like we could see a lot of weekend negotiations going on. In the meantime, Emily, this is the day we could start to see millions of booster shots begin to get rolled out, although this isn't quite the booster plan that President Biden was hoping for.
It's not. I mean, at this point, the U.S. has been criticized by international partners for starting to give out this a third shot to so many people when many countries don't have enough vaccines at this point and really do need to scale up. So there's been criticism from there, as well as just a difficult push from the Biden administration to really get all adult Americans vaccinated, because there is a solid group that is still holding out, that hasn't gotten vaccinated, and that has continued to lead to shutdowns and mask mandates across the country. So there definitely is, President Biden, as he tries to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic, is definitely hitting a couple sticking points in what next needs to be done to make sure that not only the U.S., but really the entire world is able to be vaccinated and move forward.
We heard from the January 6th commission yesterday handing out subpoenas to some key people in former President Trump's inner circle.
Yes. So we saw a couple subpoenas that were handed out yesterday to Mark Meadows, who was a former White House chief of staff under Trump, as well as Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon, former deputy chief of staff, Dan Scavano, and former Defense Department official, Kashyap Patel. And so these subpoenas, they're going out. They're asking these individuals to appear before the committee on October 14th and October 15th. And this is really the first time that we're getting a look at what the committee, how they're targeting their investigation, who they're focusing on, who they want to talk to here. The subpoenas were criticized by Republicans, saying that the investigation should not be focused on Trump, but should be more focused on the rioters who broke into the Capitol on January 6th.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, we'll have to leave it there for now, but we know we will have much more to talk about next week as all those deadlines start to come due. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures now down 16 points, Dow futures down 105, NASDAQ futures lower by 81 points, the 10-year Treasury yield 1.40%, Bitcoin down 5.6%, $42,200. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.